Now, I feel so strongly about this bill, Madam President, because it would allow the victims of 9/11 to pursue some small measure of justice by giving them a legal avenue to hold foreign sponsors of terrorism accountable for their actions. This bill, quite simply, does right by the 9/11 victims. We New Yorkers can never forget the terrible day 13 years ago when terrorists attacked our city and murdered more than 2,700 of our friends, our neighbors, our relatives. We were shocked. Our hearts were broken. The whole nation mourned with us. But I'm proud to say that New York and America came back stronger after that horrific attack. I'm also proud to say that Congress and Presidents Bush and Obama have been there to help New York heal, but never forget.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is AJC Radio Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And I'll tell you tonight, I don't know what's going on in your neck of the woods, but we got some heat going on here in AJC Radio Studio. We will be highlighting tonight U.S. Senator Charles Schumer, known as Chuck, on Capitol Hill. Stay with us. We're just getting started. So, folks, here we are tonight, along with Sam Thurman, Lisa Stewart. Cliff is on assignment in the California, and we'll be welcoming him back here soon. And this is going to be a good time tonight, folks. How are you folks doing?
Doing good, Lamont. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Pretty good.
We're doing well. And, folks, I'll tell you, you know, we've been talking about America coming out of the ashes. I think we're on the brink of change coming on, and I think that's a matter of us coming together. And how we start that tonight is Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And I'll tell you, U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer is making a difference, not only in New York, but around the United States of America with legislation, things that will promote change and bring about a difference in the lives of Americans. And I'll tell you, Senator Schumer has a good reputation of not only talking about it, but about being about it and making some changes. And we're going to get all into that and very deep into that tonight. As you have an opportunity to call in, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to comment on the senator, you have some comments about his legislation, you can call in to 347-838-8976. That number is 347-838-8976. And again, if you're feeling a little bit patriotic, we're very close to the 4th of July. I'll tell you tonight to go ahead and pull out the flag. Maybe you want to actually put it on your porch a little bit early, because the 4th of July is starting early on AJC Radio as we visit the nation's capital with Senator Schumer. Hang on to your seats. All right, folks, there you go. And you may want to grab some lemonade, some watermelon, or some barbecue, because we're getting ready to have a feast here on AJC Radio. And let's get started with that. Sam, how are things going with you?
Everything's going good. Looking forward to the program this evening and sharing some of the information with our listeners and connecting them with what's going on Capitol Hill.
Oh, absolutely. And as we get going, Lisa, read us our disclaimer before we get too deep into the festivities tonight.
Okay, we just want to remind everyone that we are not attorneys and that a just cause does not provide any legal advice. You want to contact your own personal legal advisor for your legal needs. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests do not necessarily reflect that of a just cause. And as always, thank you so much for taking a little time out to tune in and spend some time with us this evening.
All right, Lisa, thank you for that. And as we get ready to get started. There's some current things going on around the nation with current news. And if you didn't hear already, Obamacare, United States Supreme Court, has upheld that basically it's untouchable, Sam, is what I'm saying, that is actually law. And I think that's good news for the Obama administration. Your thoughts on that, Sam?
Yeah, I believe it was a 6-3 vote.
I think so.
And so it's one of those things where it's, like you said, Lamont, yeah, 6-3 decision of the Supreme Court saved the controversial, that's the way CNN refers to it, the controversial health care law that will define President Obama's administration for generations to come, which is, you know, for all practical purposes, that is a true statement.
Yes, it is.
Because that puts a landmark, it puts a stake in the ground as to the direction of our country with regard to health care.
No, I agree with that. There's been a lot of challenges to the president, the things that he has tried to achieve. And I'll tell you, for many administrations, this was something that did not get done. And we salute the president on his victory today that the Affordable Care Act reached the courthouse steps Thursday morning. Supporters of Obamacare were jubilant, what the article says from CBS News. It says here that Congress passed the Affordable Care Act to improve health insurance markets, says Roberts, for the majority, not to destroy them. And Sam and Lisa, as you think about the problem with health care and Americans struggling, that's one thing you shouldn't struggle with, is to be taken care of, to be have the option for medication and to be healthy and to live a good life. And I salute the president. He had a lot of obstacles in the way, but Obama has proven to be quite the warrior in our Oval Office. Lisa, your thoughts on that? All right, Lisa is without words right now as a point that this is, you know, you ever been astonished? You come home, you get some good news, you're speechless. Well, I'm going to say Lisa is speechless on the good news in our country right now that has taken place with Obamacare. So
I am very much excited about
well,
it.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, she has her bearings back. And I think that's good news. So thank you, Lisa. I'm without words at times. And you know what? A lot of Americans across the country are happy tonight. They can go there and they have sick children. They have sick parents that, you know, they couldn't at one point in this country get health care. Sam, I think that's a monumental step. And like you said, for generations to come, health care will be available to Americans across this country. It's a very good day for America. And regardless of the opponents of Obamacare that we hear on a consistent basis, tell that to the mother who is in the kitchen struggling to get medication or to eat. I think she'll have a different opinion of Obamacare than you. So, folks, just take that as an FYI to those that have not come to grips with reality that Obamacare now is in place and helping a lot of people across America. Sam, you had a story. We know there's something going down on in South Carolina. Let me, before you go there, Sam, give my extreme and sincere condolences from the AJC radio team for the condolences and the loss that was suffered down there in South Carolina. We understand there's some big names going down there to give their respects and make a statement of support of unity in America. Sam, why don't you share that with us?
As far as the contingency or the group that's going down to show their respects in Charleston, obviously President Obama is going to be delivering the eulogy. And then also joining President Obama will be First Lady Michelle Obama, along with Vice President Biden and his wife, Dr. Jill Biden. And then from Congress, you're going to have the House Speaker, John Boehner, as well as Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. But, you know, Lamont, one of the things that really stands out is this story about this extremist organization. And ironically, it's a church. Or at least, let me put it this way. They call themselves a church.
All right.
But it's an extremist organization. And they're talking about going to Charleston to protest some of the funerals. And, I mean, that is one of the sickest things that I've ever heard. But this is the same group that when sometimes our fallen heroes, as far as soldiers, when they come back home, the same group lines the street with signs of protest. And, you know, this group is, they're the Westboro Baptist Church, and it says that they're notorious religious extremists, that the church is basically made up of one family. But the fact that you have an extreme tragedy of this nature to occur as what has occurred in Charleston, and then you supposedly have a church that comes forward, and they say they're going to protest the funerals, and they're saying that it was an act of God that this was supposed to happen. Have you ever heard of anything more sick than that?
That is absurd. That is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you know, there comes a point that you don't answer a lot of nonsense. You know, it tells you the condition and the hate that is in the hearts of a lot of people. And all of this comes because a man or a woman's skin color may be a little darker than the other. It's complete ignorance. And to protest at a time when the hearts of family members and the heart of a nation is hurting and trying to find answers, you know, what are you doing in America?
Absolutely.
I mean, what are you doing here? If it's that contentious to you, that's an issue that you cannot separate something like that, it to me is absolutely mind-boggling that would even come out of his mouth. Sam, did he say that to an interview? Was he interviewed by somebody?
He is not shy about cameras. And, I mean, okay. There's photos out there that shows them showing their protest signs and everything. And I know you're familiar with the group Anonymous. And Anonymous has vowed to be on site as well. And they're going to, they're saying that they're vowing to stop any such protests. So
well, good.
I'm sure that the, you know, the law enforcement agencies in that area will be out in force because this has created such a contentious dialogue across the board. I mean, when you talk about race relations, when you talk about the Confederate flag, when you talk about all the things that came to the highlight and came to the top, so to speak, when it comes to conversations about where we are as a nation, man, just state after state in the South is making decisions to, you know, we got to get rid of the Confederate flag, and we got to do this. We got to do better about race relations. And ironically, some of the points that President Obama will be making in his eulogy will actually be covering the subjects of race relations in the nation.
Oh, I think that's a good point. You know, Obama said some weeks ago, it's time that we look at reality and start dealing with that we do have a problem. The AA, Alcoholic Anonymous, one key point is to admit that there is a problem. There is a problem. Mindset, if you will, of that type of thinking when it comes to AA, where a lot of people have said they have been able to deal and get over alcoholism and things along those lines. I use that analogy because America, sooner or later, how many coffins have to fill up? How many hearts have to be broken? How many things have to happen of this magnitude before we say America is in trouble? Yeah. And America has a problem? Lisa?
And I don't think we're ever going to be at a place where there is absolutely no hate in this country. We're always going to have people that hate. We're always going to have people that are full of evil and guile, that despise other people for insignificant reasons. As something as simple as your skin is a darker color than mine, or your skin is a lighter color than mine, whatever the case may be, there's always going to be hate. We can do our best to try to come together, but where there's no way to get everybody in the country together, united as one people, because there's always going to be a division somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, again, until we deal with that, you know, you're going to have issues, and we wonder why our kids are growing up divided. In this country, this is something that needs to be addressed, and I think America hopefully is coming to grips with that. Each tragedy brings a level of, awareness that there's things that have to be done. And if it comes down to the Confederate flag being brought down, you know, we can't make excuses for why the Confederate flag is still up. Let's be real about it. And you know, you're going to have people that don't agree with that. Well, it is what it is. you know, every hate group in the country, down to the KKK, all the way back to the civil rights movement when the KKK was out there and they're burning crosses and setting churches on fire. The Confederate flag seems to always be something that is paraded in the time of hate and tragedy. If that's not the case, perception-wise, it seems to be the case.
Yes.
And perception, I've been told, is as real as the real thing at times, if it's perceived
right.
that way. So,
that's right.
That's something we got to definitely take a look at. Sam, you had something?
No, I was just looking at one comment that came in over over Skype, and it was just talking about, you know, that the media gives way too much coverage to some of these idiots that are out there,
sure.
as opposed to focusing on the real issues. When you have this this man who committed this terrible crime in Charleston, and it kind of gets pushed to the side in the midst of all the other stuff, and when the fact is, like we were saying on the other evening on the program, you know, the question of whether or not this would constitute an act of terrorism, and so, you know, there's a lot of other dialogue going on. But the dialogue as far as regarding, you know, what this guy did, and not trying to justify what he did. No one should be trying to justify what he did. Well, maybe he had some psychological issues. Maybe he had this. Maybe he had that. His intentions were very clear. And he put it out there online. There are people who endorsed what he did. And so I agree with the message that we just got in that, you know, folks need to focus on the fact that this man needs to be prosecuted, and prosecuted to the greatest extent that law will allow.
No, and I agree with that. You know, if people are guilty of such, I mean, that's a massacre.
Absolutely.
That's not a, oh, I fell and tripped. My gun went off. You massacred with the intent to kill 9 people who brought you into a Bible study and embraced you. My understanding of the report says they embraced
this
man.
Yes, they welcomed him in.
And escorted him to the front of the church. He sat right next to the pastor. And all along in his mind was the intent to kill.
Yeah.
So I think as we talk about that, I think we deal with issues that that is very important that we take a look at those things. It is something that is troubling. It's something that you know, people need to pay attention to and not excuse it. I think most Americans are outraged, but from what I've seen in the reports, people are outraged about this. And that's on both sides of the racial side, or the racial divide, we call it in America. You know, the white people are just as frustrated and upset. So everybody that's white is
and
not
that's
responsible
a good, and that's
for
a
that.
Good thing.
It is a good thing.
I mean, if you didn't have all races and all nationalities in this country in an uproar over this, then that's when it's time to pack up and leave. I mean, it's but the fact that people are banding together and saying, you know, we have a problem now. And we saw that previously in some of the marches that came about as a result of the murders of our young black men in the streets. And it's sad, though, but just for, gosh, what now, a year?
Well,
I mean, it's been going on for longer than that, but as far as what's been going on for the last 12 months in this country, it is crazy.
Well, absolutely. Well, folks, it is almost time to bring recognition to Senator Charles Schumer, who we will be actually recognizing tonight on this program. You have signed in the spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday here at AJC Radio, and I'll tell you right now, there's some things going on with congressmen, and no disrespect to the staff of Senator Schumer that's listening tonight. Senator Schumer is making some big changes in our country and in the state of New York. Sam, as I've begin to review a little bit about him and the things he's done for the middle class, I mean, he's fought a lot in regards to trying to make things easier, an easier way of living for Americans across the country and across the board. And, I mean, some of the things he's been involved with, we're going to get into that when we come back on the other side of the break. If you're in Colorado, you know, you may want to stay in and pull up to the computer and kind of enjoy some time with us tonight as we shine the light on a man that is sincerely making a difference. As we look at U.S. Senator Charles Schumer, that says he's dedicated his career to protecting the middle class and helping those working to reach it. That's just a very small part as we begin to dive in to our nation's capital and talk to you Americans across the country to understand that, as I said last week on this program, you went out one day to the polls in November, a cold November night, to vote for our elected officials. That trip, whether it was in the snow, whether it was across the street, you went there for one purpose, and that was to execute change. Well, I can tell you one thing, Senator Charles Schumer is making that change happen. Stay with us. Warm up. I'm sure it's dinner time in most kitchen dining rooms across the country tonight. And go ahead and get settled in. Whatever you're having on the menu, it's going to get better than that. As we get started to reflect on the life of Charles Schumer as he continues every day to strive to make a difference in the lives of the American people. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're coming right back to you. Do you have a big brother? Well, I have a big brother, and I'm pretty sure that you and I experience some of the same things with a big brother. Big brothers will always be big brothers, right? I'm sure you'll agree. Well, my brother gets up in the morning. He takes a shower, heads to work, and at some point during the day, he's going to exercise and get that workout, as we all do. And, of course, depending on what's going on, he's going to sit down for two or three meals during the course of his day. And also, depending on what else is going on, he'll probably get caught up on current events and maybe take a few moments to turn a page in a book. How about your big brother? Some of the same stuff, right? Oh, did I mention that my big brother does all of that stuff, but he actually has to have permission a lot of times before he can do it. You see, my big brother was wrongfully convicted of a crime that he did not commit. That's right. That may sound shocking, huh? He's in prison. Wrongful convictions impact families in ways you cannot begin to imagine. But I've decided that I'm going to do something about it. And I extend an invitation to you to come on board and join me in this fight. You see, I'm helping to be a voice for my big brother and others who have been wrongfully convicted. We'd like you to take a few moments today and call a Just Cause, where we fight for justice. You can call us toll free at 1-855-529-4252. That's 1-855-529-4252. Join with us as we fight for justice and for all big brothers across the land.
Today, an innocent person is standing trial for a crime they did not commit. Today, an innocent person is writing for help from a prison cell. 245 people have been exonerated by DNA testing, but researchers believe that at least 40,000 innocent people are still behind bars. For them, the answer is the Innocence Project, an organization that uses DNA technology to free those who've been wrongfully convicted of a crime. For more information about how you can support the Innocence Project, go to mylifetime.com.
Ladies and gentlemen of America, as we have and you have arrived at Spotlight on Capitol Hill tonight, the music signifies one thing, and that's patriotism. And that comes from a man by the name of Senator Charles, known as Chuck Schumer, who is a member of Congress. And we're going to go tonight, we're going to shine the spotlight on Senator Schumer, who has made measurable differences And we're going to go into that now, Sam, as we get ready to get into Spotlight. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, understand one thing is I hope you took my advice and pulled those flags out and understand that as we approach America's freedom, in a week, I believe, Sam, a week or so from now, we will celebrate the United States and the independence of the United States and America. We have issues that we are facing and challenges that we are facing. But I'll tell you this, that when you have folks up on Capitol Hill doing what Senator Schumer is doing, it gives you a little bit of feeling that, you know what, we're not lost. We're not altogether lost yet. Sam, your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, when you look at all the things as far as let's take a look at the committees that Senator Schumer is a part of, and being the ranking member on the Committee of Rules and Administration, the Senate Judiciary Committee, the Senate Finance Committee, then the Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee. You know, all of these things tell you that he is a gentleman of that's concerned with the issues of our nation and concerned with the issues of society on a whole, because, you know, everyone knows that from a judiciary perspective, which is something that is high, it's the highest thing on the agenda for AJC Radio and a Just Cause. So when you have members of Congress or members of the Senate who are involved in judiciary activity, you know, that's very critical, because there is no secret that there are issues with our judiciary or our justice process, judicial process. There are issues with our prison systems. They're just issues across the board where we demand reform. And so when you have people who have dedicated their lives to serving the people, such as Senator Schumer has, you know, decades of service to the people, that's important, and it's good to spotlight someone like that.
And says here, ladies and gentlemen, Chuck and all, Senator, if you're listening, that's what you're known affectionately by. So I'll call you Chuck. It says here Chuck was born in Brooklyn, New York on November 23rd, 1950, to parents Selma, a homemaker active in the community, and Abe, who owned a small exterminating business. Chuck grew up in the Sheep Shed Bay neighborhood, and with his siblings, Fran and Robert, attended PS197 in Madison High School. Chuck has two daughters, Jessica and Allison, and he still resides in Brooklyn with his wife, Iris Wanshaw. After graduating from Harvard College and Harvard Law School in 1974, Senator Schumer returned home and was elected to the New York State Assembly, where he soon made his mark with his trademark vigor and tireless advocacy. In 1980, at the age of 29, Chuck ran for and won the seat in the 9th Congressional District. Senator Schumer represented the 9th District in Brooklyn and Queens for 18 years, where he established his reputation as a pioneer in the fight against crime. And as a consumer advocate, Senator Schumer authored the crime bill, which put 100,000 new cops on the street. He was the leading sponsor of the Violence Against Women Act to combat domestic violence and sexual assault, and the Brady Bill, which instituted mandatory background checks for handgun purchases. He co-wrote the Assault Weapons Ban and sponsored the Hate Crimes Prevention Act, which organized data on crimes of bigotry and allowed federal authorities to prosecute these crimes. Senator Schumer also sponsored legislation that required banks and credit card companies to provide greater disclosure to consumers. In 1998, Senator Schumer was elected to the U.S. Senate. He became New York senior senator when Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan retired in 2000. Senator Schumer kicked off his first Senate term by announcing he would visit each of New York's 62 counties every year, a tradition that continues to this day. Doing so, he is enabled to keep in touch with voters from every corner of the state. Sam, when you hear something like that, just a little brief bio on Senator Schumer. The things that they're talking about there, dealing with domestic violence, which has been an ongoing issue in our country definitely over the last year, and the things that he is doing and those type of things that he is addressing, putting, you know, against sexual assault crimes against women, this is a true American, a patriot. about keeping America a place of sacredness and to keep America safe. It sounds like he's taking some serious steps to do that.
Well, you know, if you look at the things that are kind of ancillary to that, when you look at domestic violence, crimes against women, there are a lot of laws on the books that need to be reconsidered, you know, year after year when it comes to appropriations of funds for even things like DNA testing. And
sure.
So, you know, there's a lot of things that come into play when you look at all of these type of initiatives. And if you don't position yourself to talk about it, if you don't position yourself to bring it to the forefront, then, you know, you're not going to get the support that you need in order to get the funding. And so, you know, as we've talked about even things like DNA testing in the past on the program when it comes to crimes against women, there can potentially be several victims in a situation like this. So let's say someone is convicted of a crime that they did not commit, but, you know, the funds were not there to support DNA testing. So you have a situation where someone was wrongfully convicted. They're sitting in prison. You finally get DNA testing. You get the funding for it. Find out this person didn't do it. But then the victim, the woman, is still victimized because for years a person thinks that, okay, the man who committed this heinous crime against me is now, you know, behind bars.
Yeah.
And then to have something like that happen, and then you find out, well, now the true perpetrator is still out there. So, you know, it really helps when you have a senator that is really close to these types of things because, as I was saying before, the reforms that are needed in our judicial process are tremendous. And it all comes down to money. I mean, you know,
sure.
You got to have someone that's going to sponsor bills. You got to have someone that's going to have their staff that has the same passion that they have,
sure,
in order to put the legislation together and get the backing, whether it be sponsorship or co-sponsorship of a bill, and drive these things across the finish line so that we don't have a system that is so out of balance.
No, no, I mean, that's absolutely right. And I'll tell you this, you know, if you think Senator Schumer came from a glass house in the suburbs of New York City, downtown Manhattan or whatever you want to call it, where people live pretty good, I can tell you now, Senator Schumer's had some challenges in New York City, as we all know about 9/11 and the horrific tragedy that took place there. I'll tell you what, this man stood as a champion. As you begin to look at Senator Schumer, he had to rally an entire state, to be honest with you, in his district, when it looked like all hope was gone as a result of the terrorist act taking the lives of people in his city. Had to be tremendous. Let's hear what Senator Schumer had to say about that.
Yes, I was there a day or two after with President Bush. The smell of death was in the air. People were holding, hundreds of people holding up signs. Have you seen my mother? Have you seen my son? And President Bush got on the pile. That was spontaneous, not planned. I was 10 feet away and spoke from the heart and rallied America. This is a fitting and appropriate way for President Obama to come here. He's focusing on the families because while New Yorkers feel good, certainly real good, that bin Laden is gone, we're not happy because there are so many people who have lost loved ones. Every one of us knew people who were lost. I did. And so it's a good day. We feel vindicated that some justice has been done, but it can't be a happy day, and the president's doing it perfect, just right, focusing on the families, the firefighters, the cops, not giving a speech at Ground Zero, but rather laying a wreath. I think it's just right, and it fits his personality, strong, cerebral, a little quieter. Both did the right thing, President Bush and him.
And when you hear that, Sam, the Senator Schumer talking about what the emotions going on after 9/11, that he was there. He said he could smell death in the air. But what really strikes me is what he said. He gave credit to President Bush, and he gave credit to President Obama.
Right.
That says, to me, that speaks volumes. There are times of tragedy in this country, unfortunately, that you can turn on the news, and you will still hear the political posturing by people in Congress on the other side of the aisle refusing to come together in the midst of a tragedy. What impresses me with Senator Schumer is that, you and Sam, tell me if I'm wrong, Lisa, if you have thoughts on that as well, when you hear him talk about Ground Zero, when you hear him talk about the firefighter, he's not talking about Republican or Democrat.
No.
He is talking about Americans.
Right.
And Americans that were lost that day.
Yeah.
And he, you know, you whether you like President Bush or not, whether you like Republicans or not, President Bush was put in a very challenging situation as soon as he stepped into office, with that tragedy happening in the way that it did. And I think it's fair that Senator Schumer took the position that he took and to say, you know what, folks, this isn't about politics right now. This is about a president. He happens to be George Bush. He's a Republican. But he's down here on Ground Zero talking to the families and firefighters. And he says Bush and Obama. That's what we have to come to in this country, that we are Americans.
Well, you know, Lamont, anyone that would try and make Ground Zero, you know, at that time, a political pawn, that would have been one of the sickest things that could have occurred. I mean, I saw Ground Zero just, you know, a year and a half, 2 years or so after 9/11. And it would give you shivers. I mean, it's one of the, I mean, obviously you can't see it now in that state. But if you, because of the, you know, they built the new building there, they had the new memorial there and so forth. But if you had seen this big hole in the ground, and if you can envision downtown Denver, downtown Atlanta, downtown Chicago, an entire city block is gone, and there's just a hole in the ground, and then all the other buildings around it, the sides of those buildings are gone. And you know, it sends shivers up your spine. And to hear people talk about folks jumping to their death. Now, you could be in, I mean, we were in a hotel, like, right across the street from Ground Zero. And we were on, like, our room was, like, on the 60-something floor. And to think that folks were on the 100th floor of those buildings and jumping to their death. And you look down from 60 floors. That's not a small leap. And, you know, to think that someone would try and make that a political issue, that would just be insane.
Well, absolutely.
I don't think anybody at that point could have even went there and tried to turn that into a political thing. You'd have to be insane to do something like that. I mean, it'd be so un-American, it'd be so unpatriotic to take a time like that and start trying to further any political agenda that you have at that time. That's not the time for that. That's the time to look at the loss and to look at what this country is going through. I mean, we're all Americans. That is something that affected the entire country. And Senator Schumer was very passionate about how he felt about what was going on with America as a whole.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, and the New York audience out there tonight, hats off to Senator Schumer. A man of passion, a man that cares. Sam, as we look at some of these things, it looks like he's been in office since 1981. I believe that's what I'm seeing here. And it looks like he's been a representative of New York all of that time. And he is
1980.
Like, 1980.
Yeah, in one capacity or another. I mean, you know, he was in Congress as a representative, and then he went into the Senate. Shortly after that.
Okay. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is a man that has done great things. And to Senator Schumer, his staff, as we take a look, we at AJC Radio say we bid you a thank you for your service to this country, for what you have done, what you have contributed is mind-boggling. Sam, as we look at some of the bills that Senator Schumer is currently working in on the Capitol, he's got some things going on. And, folks, if you think your elected officials are not busy up there on Capitol Hill, we got news for you. Sam, we're looking at quite a few bills that he is currently working on right now. One of the bills, S-163, it says Avante's Law Act of 2015. It says this bill amends the Omnibus Crime Control and Safe Streets Act of 1968 to authorize the Attorney General to make grants to law enforcement agencies reduce the risk of injury and death relating to the wandering characteristics of some individuals with autism and other disabilities, and to safeguard the well-being of individuals with disabilities during interactions with law enforcement. Sam and Lisa, we've talked about the abuse of the mentally challenged and the mentally ill by police officers. And Sam, what does that tell you as a patriot of America that Senator Schumer is stepping out and saying, wait a minute, it doesn't matter whether you're like me or if you're different from me, you have the same rights as every other American, and you should be, that should be considered when these law enforcement officers come in contact with these folks that are challenged, if you will.
Well, you know, when you look at one part of this, it says to provide education and resources to law enforcement agencies, first responders, schools, clinicians, and others who may, you know, encounter folks who have special needs as they, you know, are faced with law enforcement issues. And you can point to several different incidents that have happened where professionals will look at it and say, you know, that maybe a law enforcement officer handled that situation incorrectly, and had they had the proper training, it would have been a totally different outcome, you know.
It's amazing, Sam, as you look at that bill, it closes off to say, it says to provide training and emergency protocols for school administrators, staff, and families. Provide response tools and training for law enforcement and search and rescue agencies, including tracking technology. Provide response tools and training to law enforcement agencies in order to recognize and respond to individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. That is critical.
They have to know how to deal with these kind of people. You can't deal with them the same way you would someone who is fully mentally aware. You can't deal with them the same way. You have to know how to handle different people in different situations.
Well, what it says, Lisa, to pivot off of your comment, the Senator Schumer is connected.
Exactly.
He's not disconnected from reality. A lot of people are. Senator Schumer, to hear, Sam, that language, to that specification, and to be that specific of something we said is an ongoing issue in this country, down to the police shootings all over this country in the last several months, for Senator Schumer to connect that way and to put that in a bill with that language. Ladies and gentlemen of New York, it sounds like to me that we got a Senator Schumer down there that should be running for the presidency, because that's what we need. We need people like Senator Schumer who is connected. And I don't know, that really gets to me, Sam, in a positive way, because, you know, we just pulled this information on the senator to see exactly what he was involved in doing and how connected is he to be for the signs of the times, if you will.
Well, you know, Lamont, his reputation and his passion for Congress and his passion for the Senate, his passion for doing things right and getting things done, has led basically to him being the front runner, if you will, to be the Senate, the Democrat Senate leader when Harry Reid retires. And so he has the support of both Democrat as well as Republican to assume that position. And so, you know, all of the reports are saying that Senator Schumer, he's up for re-election. And that they don't feel, no one feels that his seat is in jeopardy as far as, you know, in the next election. So getting reelected, it's almost as if he's going to be a shoe-in as far as being the lead Senate member for the Democratic Party. So, you know, that's something that everyone is saying, you know, is needed, saying that he is very decisive about his actions. Right. He doesn't quibble on issues. I mean, he just goes straight to it and doesn't mince his words. You know, he lets his thoughts be known. But it's not, again, it's not all about politics. It's about, you know, let's just get it done. I mean, even John McCain has spoke favorably and highly of Senator Schumer, saying that, you know, he's worked with him several times. And so
that's awesome.
That's a good relationship that's formed there.
And also, Sam, there was a former Republican senator who knew him well and said he's known him for many years and that Chuck was never a wallflower. He's someone who's tough, smart, and respects the institution. And that's the kind of person that we need in office. We also, we got a comment in the chat where someone is saying, we have a member of the chat room who's saying that they believe that this is something special for someone to actually care about the rights of the people who are mentally disabled, because they're generally, no one cares about them, no one thinks about them, and they're glad that there's someone in the Senate who's actually speaking up for them and their rights.
Wow. Wow. Well, folks, let me tell you something right now. If you're wondering what's going on in America here at AJC Radio, we're talking about Senator Chuck. That's what he goes by. And affectionately, I say that affectionately, Chuck. Senator Schumer making a difference. And Lisa, as you just stated here, what a difference maker.
Yeah.
You know, you can get elected to office and go up there and then sit back in your desk and, you know, have a cappuccino, maybe a cup of coffee, and not get much done.
And but I'm look out the view at your window.
You know, I'm looking out my window with my feet on my desk, and
you got a window?
Our people will be all right. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If you're wondering what you just stumbled upon, you've stumbled on something we call American, and we call it patriotic here on AJC Radio. It's Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And right now it is 8:45 on the East Coast. The sun is probably settling in. Weather seems to be okay across the USA. And we're just getting started. Ladies and gentlemen, we are highlighting and spotlighting the Honorable Senator Charles Chuck Schumer, a man that's making a difference on Capitol Hill. And I'll tell you what, Sam, to your point a moment ago, you know, he's up for re-election. If you take Schumer out of the equation, you might as well be sitting down at your dinner table in front of a T-bone steak and somebody pulled it away from you when you get ready to cut a piece of that steak. You don't want to take that off the table. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't want to remove Senator Schumer either. A man making a difference. Get comfortable, folks. Turn the porch light on. Let old Buck the dog in for a little while to share some time with you as we get ready on AJC Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Lamont Banks along with Sam Thurman. Lisa Stewart, you have reached Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday, where we bring honor to Senator Schumer making a difference across the USA. We'll be right back.
Do you know anyone who's been sent to prison who is innocent? The United States is experiencing record numbers of exonerations in cases where people were wrongly convicted of crimes that they did not commit. If you believe that no one should be sent to prison for crimes they didn't commit, there is something that you can do today. By remembering A Just Cause with a monthly, annual, or one-time donation, you can help in the fight against wrongful convictions. Call A Just Cause, toll-free, at 1-855-529-4252. Again, 1-855-529-4252. Or visit www.a-justcause.com and click the donate button. Wrongful convictions are wrong. Let's be the voice of those who can't speak from behind the wall. A Just Cause is a 501c3.
Every crime has a victim, and every victim needs help. Being violated by a crime can leave you feeling alone in the world. National Center for Victims of Crime can help. Let us be your resource, your support, your guide to rebuilding your life and restoring hope. Yes, you have the ability to recover. Take the first step. Call 1-800-FYI-CALL or visit us at www.ncvc.org.
These are the voices that prisoners in solitary confinement hear every day. Out of Arizona's total of 2,076 prisoners held in solitary, 30% are taking prescription medication to deal with mental illnesses, and 11% have diagnosed schizophrenia. Experts report that the extreme and prolonged isolation exacerbates pre-existing conditions and appears to even cause mental illness in prisoners who were not previously ill. While prisoners deserve punishment, Arizona can do better. We need to change the solitary confinement rules. Unlike any other states, Arizona prisoners are held in 8x10 cells for at least 23 hours a day, with no windows and virtually no human interaction. Perhaps the best way to fix solitary confinement so it strikes a balance between punishment and humanity is to decrease the size of solitary units. Colorado, Texas, Mississippi, and Illinois have decreased the size of their units, only admitting prisoners who need the rehabilitating experience, and have saved over $6 million without compromising prison safety. A study produced in Colorado reported that after decreasing the number of solitary units, prisoners experienced an improvement in overall mental health of the confined inmate population. How can we do this? We need to reach out to Director of Corrections Charles L. Ryan, asking him to decrease the number of solitary units. Solitary confinement needs to remain a place for punishment and behavior change, but it can also be a place of innovation and rebuilding.
Gentlemen, welcome back to AJC Radio Spotlight on Capitol Hill, where we highlight members of Congress who are making a difference on Capitol Hill, not only in the states they were elected, but also moves and actions that are being taken to make America better. We shine the light tonight on Senator Charles Schumer from New York, a man that has engulfed, if you will, Capitol Hill with legislation, with not only a lip service, but a due service of making a difference to bring America and New York, of course, better days. And as we reflect on this man's accomplishments, a leader without question, Sam, as we were talking earlier, in line to become the next leader of the Democratic Party. Is that correct?
In the Senate.
In the Senate.
That's correct. And you know, Lamont, even as we were talking about that, and we're talking about all the people who have basically given their endorsement of Senator Schumer, and someone who we had on Spotlight on Capitol Hill just a couple of weeks ago, Representative Charles Rangel. And, you know, when you have a delegation that comes from a state or what have you, you have that person who is like they refer to Representative Rangel as the dean. And so yeah. Representative Rangel, he's a Democratic representative from Harlem. And he and in this article that I was reading, it says that assuming that Senator Schumer wins his fourth Senate term, Schumer would be the dean of New York's delegation. And it says that the delegation's current dean, Democratic Representative Charles Rangel, said that Schumer is particularly impressive for his ability to make you believe that he's your best friend. You know, so that
wow.
that I think explains why he is getting such support
sure.
from all over the place. But, you know, to have the Honorable Charles Rangel,
the icon,
yeah,
the lion, they call him the beast. They call him in a good way of authority to back you and support you. Sam, as you said, speaks volumes. This is a man, Congressman Rangel, 44 years in the Congress, and when you get words like that from an icon on that level, it speaks to Senator Schumer's impressive impact. That he is making on Capitol Hill. That's absolutely amazing.
And, you know, it goes across all ethnic groups. There's some information out there that talks about how Senator Schumer he keeps a collection of brightly colored sashes in his home in Brooklyn. And it basically is in recognition of the various ethnic parades that he's marched in, or he marches in every year. And he keeps these in his home. So he's marched in parades, has sashes from the Chinese New Year. He has another one from St. Patrick's Day Parade, one from the Greek Independence Day Parade, another from the Puerto Rican Day Parade. Wow. And then he has one from the Columbus Day Parade. And so he has all of these sashes that cover all ethnic groups of the people that he represents there in New York.
That's just amazing to me. And you know what, Sam and Lisa, New York is the most diverse cities, my understanding, in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely.
When it comes to different people of all walks of life. Senator Schumer, my hat's off to you tonight. I'm feeling a little American, if you will, that we are talking about somebody that is making a difference. To be a senator in New York City, Sam, you've been to New York, right?
I have.
You haven't seen so many people in your life. And I'll tell you,
it can almost be scary.
But I think the good part about this for Senator Schumer, it speaks to who he is as a leader. A leader has the ability to connect with people from all walks of life. Doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter where you've been. It takes a leader to do what Senator Schumer is doing. And that's something to me, is it doesn't get more impressive than that. And I like the way that Senator Schumer comes together, not only in his own party and outside of his party. He's about America.
Yeah.
If he can rally you, if he can spark you, if he can motivate you, that's what Senator Schumer does. Let me play you a clip. President Obama came into office. Let me let you hear what Senator Schumer had to say. And we're going to get there here in a moment. And I'll tell you this. He was talking at the inauguration, the importance of America coming together as a people. And I think it's important that we pay attention to the things that happen and the things that are actually going on. I believe that, Sam, and your thoughts on that, usually when there's a change of power, there's some hurt feelings along the way at times. But for a senator, and I think what makes America great is the fact that through all of that, you have to keep America together, because you know what? A lot of people came to vote on both sides. A lot of folks came together to vote on both sides. Well, somebody has to lose the race. And for a congressman and a senator or anybody, an elected official, to be able to bring people together when hurt feelings and people are saying, I wanted my candidate to win. Schumer had one thing to say. Let's hear what he said.
Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, members of Congress, all who are present, and to all who are watching, welcome to the Capitol and to this celebration of our great democracy. Now, this is the 57th inauguration of an American president, and no matter how many times one witnesses this event, its simplicity, its innate majesty, and most of all its meaning, that sacred yet cautious entrusting of power from we the people to our chosen leader never fails to make one's heart beat faster, as it will today with the inauguration of President Barack H. Obama. Now, we know that we would not be here today were it not for those who stand guard around the world to preserve our freedom. To those in our armed forces, we offer our infinite thanks for your bravery, your honor, your sacrifice.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know if you got chill bumps there, Sam or Lisa. Those words alone that speak to the honor of the armed forces, is this anything Senator Schumer's missing here?
I don't think so.
Sam?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said before, it's evident in the work that he does with regard to whether it's Veterans Affairs, whether it's things that support reform when it comes to crimes against women. There's legislation that he's worked on as far as police and law enforcement training. All of these things point to someone who has a broad scope and can look at all the things that all the needs and issues and concerns and put it in the right perspective. As Lisa said before, you know, his colleagues and his peers have noted that he is not a person that stands in the corner. He's not one that's just going to stand back and just kind of let things happen. He is one that makes things happen. And so, you know, so you got two different types of people there. And so someone that makes things happen, but then does it in such a way that can earn the respect of both sides of the aisle. I think that's one thing that's definitely missing in our legislative bodies right now. It is so much about politics that nothing gets done. And so we have to have people who are able to work together so that we can make progress. Otherwise, you know, you can spend 4 years, depending upon the administration, and that goes either way. You can have all this time that passes by, and nothing gets done because of the partisan politics. And that's where I believe Senator Schumer has that ability to diffuse those type of situations. He has the ability to convey in an articulate manner things that need to get done. And then, you know, right now, like we were saying, with Harry Reid retiring and Senator Schumer being positioned to take that lead role, he is an excellent candidate. I mean, to spend all the time that he spent in Washington, D.C., you don't spend all that time there and not have an understanding or comprehension as to what it takes to get things done.
Oh, absolutely. And Sam, I couldn't have said it better than that. You know, when you have people in the wings, if you will, you know, they say sometimes on the football field that you need to have a veteran backup quarterback on the field. And the importance of that, folks, if you don't follow football, if you put a rookie in the backup position, unless he is overly gifted and has proven to be an exceptional player, the fact that you have a veteran that may not be able to move as quick as he can move as he used to, but he's able to read the defense and actually articulate his movements on the field. You're dealing with a veteran here in Congress, Senator Schumer, being in position, as you said, Sam, to take over at the end of service for Mr. Reid, Congressman Reid. I think that speaks a lot, and it should make New York and it should make America feel pretty safe that we're actually in good hands.
Well, Senator Schumer would be the first New Yorker to ascend to that top position in the Senate. And so, you know, even that is just one of those things that would be another feather in his cap, so to speak, to show that he has the ability to go forward and at the same time, you know, not because obviously when you take on the role of being the lead guy in Senate for an entire party, you know, then folks have this big question mark, you know, well, are you going to still be focused on us? And so he, in a recent interview a few weeks ago, Senator Schumer made the pledge, and he says, I've always tried to use my clout to help New York in big ways and small ways. And he says that he will continue to keep New York and the needs of New York, you know, on his agenda. And so he's not going to be sidelined by it. So, you know, I don't think the citizens of the state of New York are going to have to be concerned about that. But I think from a national perspective, I think that the folks of the United States, sure, especially those who are of the Democrat affiliation, they're going to gain something. No disrespect to Senator Reid, but Senator Reid is retiring. Senator Schumer steps in. And so I think with that level of commitment that Senator Schumer has shown over the years, he's just taking it to another level.
And I think that's a fair point. You know, again, no disrespect to Senator Reid. We thank him for his service, and we'll thank him continually until he decides to retire. No issues with that. Says that Senator Schumer sits on the Committee on Banking, Housing, Urban Affairs, the Judiciary Committee, where he is ranking member of the Subcommittee on Immigration, Refugees, and Border Patrol. And, you know, Sam, one of the, you know, and it says here, not only Border Security and the Joint Committee on the Library, they must in Congress think very highly of Senator Schumer. He sits on some very powerful committees and subcommittees. And one major problem, Sam, that we know that's been an issue in this country is immigration. The need for immigration reform is critical. And being on New York, a lot of people come to New York looking for the American dream from all across the country. He had something to say about immigration. Let's hear what he had to say.
Simple solution. Let's enact the law this year, but simply not let it actually start till 2017, after President Obama's term is over. Now, I think the rap against him that he won't enforce the law is false. He's deported more people than any other president. But you could actually have the law start in 2017 without doing much violence to it. You'd simply move the date back from December 31st, 2011 to December 31st, 2013, as to when people, the deadline for people who could get either legalization or citizenship, so we could go after the new people who come in later. And it would solve the problem. And make no mistake about it, David, this view that we can get this done in 2015-16 is false. You'll have the Republican presidential primaries that pull people over to the right. Tea Party maximizes. So simple.
Well, Sam, he made it clear. He made a clear point. There's nothing difficult about it. You know, you got people that have an opinion about immigration. Folks, Senator Schumer is talking about something that could work. He's offering a solution to a problem. And if we could leave the politics, if you will, and deal with the issues, I believe Senator Schumer is an example of that and makes a big difference. Sam, your thoughts on that position on immigration?
Well, you know, that's a contentious subject all across the board. And, you know, sometimes I find it, that conversation to be amusing because when you just look at what our nation is built on, and to see the different dialogue that comes into play on that, but at the same time recognizing that, you know, this is a different time in history, and we do have to look at things from the perspective with which the history has dictated up to this point. And so, again, it's another area where I think Mr. Schumer has looked to get some traction on an issue that, I mean, it's as big as Obamacare. I mean, you know, it is right up there when it's going to be one of those top agenda items in the next election. It's one of those things that everyone talks about.
You know what? What you find here is, you know, a lot of folks are known if they, you know, you remember the old saying on the playground in elementary school, can you get along with others? Senator Schumer doesn't seem to have a problem getting along with others. He says after New Yorkers reelected him in 2004, Senator Schumer was awarded two powerful posts by his colleagues. The first, the seat on the Senate Finance Committee, which oversees the nation's tax, trade, Social Security, and health care legislation. Now, Sam, let me slow down. Let's back up on that. A lot of folks think when they go to work from 8 to 5, focused on one point, they're overworked and underpaid. Let's read that again. His colleagues felt so good about Senator Schumer and his ability, they awarded two powerful posts to him. The first seat again on the Senate Finance Committee, which oversees not his household tax, the nation's tax, the nation's trade, the nation's Social Security, and the nation's health care legislation. The second honor was the chairmanship of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee. Senator Schumer successfully led the DSCC for two consecutive cycles. And that was over at the end of 2008. Following the elections of 2006, Majority Leader Harry Reid appointed Senator Schumer to serve as vice chair of the Democratic Conference, the number three position on the Democratic leadership team, and a position he continues to hold. after New Yorkers reelected him for a third term in 2010. Senator Schumer took an expanded role in the Senate as chairman, as Senate Rules Committee, which oversees federal elections, voting rights, campaign finance, and the operation of Senate complex. Sam, you thought you had a lot on your plate. You got to bring in about a whole table, a buffet that Senator Schumer has. What does that tell you about him as far as his character and as a person that they would entrust? These are major issues that run America.
That's correct. That's correct. And you know, all of those are high profile positions, high profile activity. And again, when you look at judiciary, when you look at finance, when you look at, and you know, on the thing on finance, sometimes Senator Schumer gets criticized because of his ties to the financial industry, the financial world in New York. But he has shown that he's not focused on just doing what is going to benefit Wall Street, so to speak, and so he makes no he doesn't sidestep that. I mean, he faces his critics head on when folks try and throw that in his face, and it's obvious when the citizens of New York re-elect Senator Schumer into office. He's doing what the people want. He's doing what he sees as the things that are needed for New York. And so, you know, you cannot second guess the achievements of Senator Schumer.
Oh, well, absolutely, Sam. And again, you know, these are leadership qualities that America's in need of right now. So, folks, as we look at the State of the Union of the United States right now, everybody has an opinion of whether it's good or whether it's bad, but I'll tell you right now, I'm encouraged tonight as an American citizen that somebody on Capitol Hill, and not only Senator Schumer, but tonight is his night, someone that is making a difference and that is attempting to make that difference felt. Folks, if you hear that music playing, what comes through your mind tonight? We've been told that the American condition is mission impossible. Well, when you look at Senator Schumer, his staff that occupy the Hart Building on Capitol Hill, the mission doesn't seem too bleak. Ladies and gentlemen, it is election time soon. As Sam, you've said that Senator Schumer is coming up for re-election. Is that right?
That is correct.
I'll tell you right now, New York City, don't make the mistake of losing a gem like Senator Schumer. He's a leader. He is an example of patriotism. And I think it's very important that we continue to have people in Congress and on Capitol Hill that are making the differences that Senator Schumer is making. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we get ready to, on the other side of this break, let me tell you right now that it's just getting started. We're going to come back. And we're going to close out Senator Schumer and some other things and legislation that he has going on. We want to make you aware of. But ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. Perpetrators of Justice is right behind Senator Schumer. And I'll tell you what, there's different as night and day. We got a leader in Senator Schumer that is an example of justice and implementing that justice. But behind that, we have some perpetrators of justice. Tonight, we will expose the most wanted perpetrators of justice in the country that you need to know about. We're getting ready to come back to you and go ahead and wrap things up. I'm sure dinner's already wrapped up. If your husband or wife didn't make it home, they're working hard and they want something to eat when they get home. They'll have to put it in the microwave and warm it up. But you can do one thing, it's for certain. We're going to warm it up even more here on AJC Radio. We're getting ready. Tuck Jimmy and Johnny or Susie or whatever your names of your little children are. It's getting late. It's bedtime on the East Coast for the little ones. They've probably been out playing on a hot summer day in a humid place called New York City or Philadelphia or Washington, D.C. Let's wrap them up, cool them down. We're coming right back on AJC Radio. Stay with us.
Do you know anyone who's been sent to prison who's innocent? The United States is experiencing record numbers of exonerations in cases where people were wrongfully convicted of crimes they did not commit. If you believe that no one should be sent to prison for crimes they didn't commit, there is something that you can do today. By remembering A Just Cause with a monthly, annual, or one-time donation, you can help in the fight against wrongful convictions. Call A Just Cause at 855-529-4252 or visit a-justcause.com and click the donate button. A Just Cause is a 501c3. Wrongful convictions are wrong. Let's be the voice of those who can't speak from behind the wall.
If you were convicted of a crime you did not commit, what would you do? How would you feel to have your basic human rights stripped from you in a matter of seconds?
Each day, thousands of crimes are committed, and each day, thousands of people nationwide are convicted of crimes they did not commit.
Eyewitness misidentification is the number one factor that causes most wrongful convictions. This is due to the mind filling in blanks with things that seem right, or things that they hear from others, such as the police, media, and other witnesses. If you are unsure if the person that stands before you committed the crime, do not put an innocent person in jail. Don't convict the innocent.
How often does our justice system get it wrong, convicting innocent people of crimes they did not commit? A new project by the University of Michigan Law School and the Center for Wrongful Convictions at Northwestern University School of Law tries to answer that question. In the last 23 years, more than 2,000 people have been convicted of serious crimes and later exonerated, according to the National Registry of Exonerations. By far, the largest segment was almost 1,200 defendants falsely convicted because of large-scale patterns of police corruption, generally in drug and gun cases. Of the remaining 873 defendants exonerated, nearly half were wrongly convicted of murder, and of that group, 101 were sentenced to death. On average, it took more than 11 years for a conviction to be set aside. Why does the justice system get it wrong? In homicides, the biggest problem is perjury and false accusation, most often by supposed eyewitnesses. False convictions in adult rape cases are primarily based on mistakes by eyewitnesses, while false convictions in child sex abuse cases are often for fabricated crimes that never occurred. 2,000 exonerations may seem small in a nation with more than 2.3 million people behind bars, but there are far more false convictions than the report contains. Most false convictions are never formally challenged, and those convictions that are successfully overturned receive little or no attention from the media, according to the report's office.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the drum of liberty that you hear tonight on AJC Radio, where we address and bring the message of justice all around the world. And tonight we have emerged, if you will, on our nation's capital, spotlighting Senator Charles Chuck Schumer, a patriot of America that is making a difference all across the land. And Sam and Lisa, as we have done very little justice to a man and a giant, if you will, that occupies the halls of Capitol Hill. What a accomplishment and things that he has done, Sam, as we've talked on this program tonight, Lisa, making a difference. But he's making a difference where it matters, and that's in the lives of the American people, and not only in New York City, but what his legislation is doing is setting precedent, Sam, if you will, for what needs to happen legislatively, as far as legislation, got tongue-tied there, that makes a difference, that affects all of us. And I think it's something that can be admired. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree, Lamont. I mean, you know, the thing that, as far as Congress or Senator Schumer being in position to take that lead role after Senator Reid retires, that, I think, is a testament to Senator Schumer's position and his reputation in Washington, D.C., his reputation among his colleagues in both parties, whether you're talking Democrat or Republican. And he is a person who can get things done. And who knows how the next election is going to end up, whether you're talking about the Senate, whether you're talking about the presidential race. Who knows? But, you know, regardless of how it ends up, you know, I think we would be in a good position with Senator Schumer being the lead senator from the Democratic Party.
No, I agree with you on that, Sam. And I mean, what an honor to spotlight someone of this magnitude. And ladies and gentlemen of America, we're going to ask that you join in. You may be hearing a little bit of technical difficulties tonight during this program. Here in Colorado, we have had some rain and thunderstorms and all kind of sales dealing with the weather that may be affecting your enjoying pleasure of Agency Radio. We give our apologies on that. It is a technical issue that goes beyond our scope. We don't control Mother Nature. That is something that's a little bigger than us. So we apologize for any issues with that. And I assure you we'll have to take that up with Mother Nature and see if what we can do to get some better forecasts out here in Colorado. So bear with us on that as we go forward with this program. But folks, Sam, the weather hasn't dampened what we have seen tonight and what we have learned tonight, Lisa, of Senator Schumer. Maybe thunderstorming here in Colorado, and folks are trying to adjust the internet buttons on there and saying, man, do I need to put something on these keys, on these speakers to make it work a little better? I'll tell you what, folks, bear with us, because it's not dampened here in AJC Radio studio and the AJC Radio team, as we have seen some things tonight, Lisa, that is encouraging, but makes you want to pull out the flag. Perhaps we need a postcard in the wallet to remind us that it is America and that we got folks working on making a difference across this country. Your thoughts on, as we reflect on Senator Schumer tonight and the things that he is doing, is absolutely fascinating. Your thoughts on that?
Yes, I think it's just it's a breath of fresh air when you look and see so much good that's being done. You hear so much bad, and I'm getting there's a whole lot of chatter in the chat room tonight with people talking about how good it is to hear some good that's going on in the nation's capital and some of our leaders that are actually trying to do something good. There are people saying that they don't know how long senators are allowed to stay in office, but they would love it if Senator Schumer could stay in forever. They'd never be taken out.
Well, I think they just get reelected. I mean, I think it said that he's going on his fourth term to be reelected for the Senate. So it just, that you have those that have been there for 40 years, and so it's a good thing.
It
you know,
is,
if they're
is.
Doing something good,
That's
I mean,
right. Stay in there, keep doing the good job that you're doing.
I think if they're not doing
if
something
doing
good,
nothing, get out.
Yeah, and that's up to the people.
That's right.
You know, that goes back to the thing of, if you don't like what's going on, then get out there and vote.
That's right.
No, without question. And folks, you know, we talk about what may be going on in America. And I'm going to tell you, there's some good stuff happening on Capitol Hill. I think we tend to put everybody in one boat of folks that may be not doing. And I think as people, as we see the condition of a country, we're in a hurry for change. But it's going to, these men, Sam and Lisa, that we have highlighted, and the people of Congress, they have been working decades. Congressman Schumer, you said for decades, Senator Schumer, for decades has been doing what he is doing right now, and that is to make a difference. I know he steps out on issues regarding autism, leading legislation and pushing legislation that works with children with autism and families that have to deal with those things. New York City lunch programs,
yes.
You know, for the inner city kids, that they have an opportunity to eat lunch and all these things that I believe it doesn't. You know, I'm wondering if the title of some of these folks that we spotlight here on AJC Radio should be humanitarian senator. These folks are making a difference in the human condition, and I think they're motivating people to take on that same spirit. Sam, your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's you have different programs where folks can get involved with the various offices. And if you'd like more information on Senator Schumer, you can go to www.schumer.senate.gov. Again, that's www.schumer.senate.gov. And he has a very comprehensive layout on his website where you can look at all the legislation that he has either sponsored or co-sponsored and involves or includes the list that you talked about earlier and all that information that's posted there, Lamont. And then it also, gives his bio and then the committees that he's on. And it, you know, lays out the responsibilities associated with those committees. And you have to look at it and say, you know, if you're from New York and if you're from the state of New York and you want to get involved, that is an excellent way to start. I mean, if you don't start at the local level and you want to get involved on a national level, then, you know, someone that has that type of clout, that type of reputation, I'm sure you can learn a lot there.
Yeah, and I think, Sam, they said earlier that Senator Schumer visits every county in New York. Every single, and if I'm not mistaken, the amount was 60, was it 67 counties? I believe it was 67 counties in New York that they said he still visits to this day in staying connected with voters. I noticed there was some fallout in regards to some of the senators or congresspeople that kind of lost sight of their local districts, where all of that was, and then what was happening. I think people get complacent primarily in their role at times. Senator Schumer doesn't seem to have that problem. Looking to stay connected with his constituents, the folks that put him there in office. Sam, they have to believe in Senator Schumer. You don't keep coming back time after time after time without making an impact somewhere. Somebody's believing in what you're doing. I think that makes a big difference.
Absolutely. Got another, got a couple more responses in our chat room. We've got someone saying that, you never hear such wonderful things about someone like the senator, like senators in Congress, and they want to let Senator Schumer know that he rocks.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, this is AJC Radio, where we highlight, we spotlight, and we shine the light on your elected officials. And I'll tell you what, Lisa, when you say that, folks in the chat room were saying, man, let the senator know that you rock. What does that mean? It means that the platform that AJC Radio provides is going across this country.
That's right.
And folks are listening. That's the aim and the goal of AJC Radio. Sam, as you hear that, that may not be something conventional that a 45, a 46, or 35-year-old person may say, you rock. But it tells me he's reaching people of all walks of life and of all ages.
Absolutely. And you know, I think that it takes that because the younger generation are you know, not to be just trite in a comment, but they are our future, so to speak.
That's the bottom line. And folks out there in the chat room, thank you so much for your response. Tonight, folks, we could go on and talk about Senator Schumer. We are coming to the end of this segment. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen of America, we are encouraged that change is coming to America. When you have folks in office that are promoting change and justice, we can't help but go up. And our hats off again, Senator Schumer, and to your staff and to your service to the United States of America. We say thank you. And again, Sam gave you the contact information for Senator Schumer, www.schumer.senate.gov. You can go out there and check out and email Senator Schumer, check out his website. If you go to congress.gov, Sam, I believe, you can also find information on Senator Schumer. Is that correct?
Senate.gov.
Senate.gov, you can find information there as well. It's been a pleasure tonight highlighting Senator Schumer and what a indeed patriot of America. And we look to see some great things coming from Senator Schumer's office and on the floor in the Senate. So it's been great doing that. As you hear the music, ladies and gentlemen, that gives you one indication the perpetrators of justice are on the loose. We are here to track them down. So run them down and to let you know that you are in danger of injustice. We said a few weeks on this program that Lady Justice has gone missing. Has anybody seen her? She's in need in a big way in the United States of America. But I got the feeling with folks like Senator Schumer, Congressman Rangel, Congressman Richmond, and all those on Capitol Hill, if we continue this path, folks, Lady Justice may definitely be found. We're going to go to break. When we come back, it's Perpetrators of Justice. Get your book out, get your notebook, get your red ink pen. But we're getting ready to mark the Perpetrators of Justice here on AJC Radio. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you a question? Did you know that there are over 2.4 million people behind bars in the United States? I'll ask you one more question. Were you aware that that is the highest number of people behind bars in the entire world? The United States makes up of only 5% of the world's population, but we have over 25% of the world's prison population. America prides itself on being the most advanced and progressive nation on earth. However, sadly, we are also the world's most archaic. I'm going to give you a personal invitation to get involved with the fight against mass incarceration. Take a few moments to call 1-855-529-4252. That is a just cause, and we fight for justice. Again, call a just cause today. Don't delay. Call 1-855-529-4252. It is time, and I say high time, that we take America's incarceration seriously. Won't you join us? Call today. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of AJC Radio and a campaign that we have started that is underway entitled Spotlight on Capitol Hill. This program is new to AJC Radio, but it is an exciting time when we take a few moments every Thursday evening to highlight members of Congress, their initiatives that are not only important to them, their constituents, and the nation as a whole. We invite you every Thursday to tune in to AJC Radio to hear your congressman or your senator and their initiatives that are here to shape a nation and to bring about change. We invite you cordially, and as we fight for justice, as we seek justice daily, we'll come together as not only the American people. Join us every Thursday for Spotlight on Capitol Hill. God bless you, and as always, God bless America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear that music, justice is somewhere around the corner. And there's a name, man named Dano that's given the instruction to book him. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight as we get ready for Perpetrators of Justice, we will expose those that are perpetrating as justice people that are out here. And let me tell you something right now, ladies and gentlemen. You say, what is a perpetrator? It is someone that is pretending, Sam, I believe, to be something that they are not. Is that a clear definition or no?
I'll take that.
Right. And my name's not Webster, so that may not fit the mold, but I'll tell you what. Six men. I want you to sit down and close your eyes for a minute, ladies and gentlemen, and picture this in your mind. Six men, patriots of America, developing software to keep the homeland safe as ISIS emerges on the brink of America. There is software that was created by these six men, the IRP-6, to keep your kids who are tucked in tonight, probably under the covers already on the East Coast, safe as they sleep tonight. A huge miscarriage of justice took place in the lives of these men. Well, what are you saying, Lamont? Well, what we're saying tonight is that someone is responsible for putting little Johnny and little Susie in jeopardy and their safety. Not only them, your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather, and all of America. Tonight we expose the perpetrators of justice, those that have been responsible. Sam, the six men, what are their names?
We're looking at David Banks, Dave Zappolo, Kendrick Barnes, Demetrius Harper, Clinton Stewart, and Gary Walker. And, you know, if folks were to go out to freetheirp6.org, again, freetheirp6.org, you will see an incredible story unfold right before your eyes. I mean, there is so much information there that you're not going to believe it. And by the way, if folks did not hear our program on Tuesday of this week, then they did themselves a disservice, and they need to go back and listen to the archives. Now, we're going to revisit that subject again in more detail. We're going to hit the quick highlights tonight, but if you missed Tuesday evening, June 23rd, go to the AJCRadio.com archives, and as one of our listeners put it, after the program on Tuesday evening, boy, it got hot.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, anything that causes anything to move is usually associated with heat. Ladies and gentlemen, perpetrators of justice, we start the list right now. Lisa, take us down that list.
We're going to start with number one on our list is Mr. U.S. Attorney John Walsh.
Now, Lamont, this is a situation where the U.S. Attorney had plenty of opportunity. He had ample opportunity to not prosecute the case of the IRP-6. When it was brought to his office, and the IRP-6 himself, they put together a proffer. And for those who are not familiar with the legal jargon, a proffer is basically a document that shows here's what we were doing in our business, and here's what our intent was. There were no crimes committed. They just lay it out. Well, the IRP-6 did that. They presented that to the U.S. Attorney's office with the understanding that they could have been penalized if they had lied in any way in that document. They did not lie. There, it was laid out. Their court-appointed attorneys at that time did not support them in going to a meeting with the U.S. attorney. But there was ample opportunity there. And looking at it and saying, no, this is an industry standard. This company was being run the way the industry runs. These gentlemen did not do anything. And as evidenced by the fact there were two grand juries. First grand jury looked at it and said, hey, there are no crimes committed here. These gentlemen, it's a business that's in debt. You come back with a second grand jury, there's no reason that this case should have even been prosecuted.
Well, what they're saying is that there's a different motive going on here. Lisa, who else, who is the accessory of this crime?
We've got Matthew Kirsch and Sunita Hazra, who prosecuted these innocent men with nothing less than that could be described as a vendetta against these men, to lock up six innocent men, knowing full well that they had done, there was no wrongdoing, they had committed no crime. They set out to lock these men up in spite of that, no matter what.
Okay, and I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, that the IRP-6 have contended their innocence. It doesn't take much education to turn on the news and see how many people in this country have done time behind bars that were innocent. These six men are innocent, the IRP-6. Who's the other corporates, Lisa, in this conspiracy, if you will?
We have an attorney by the name of Greg Goldberg, who took this initial case to Matthew Kirsch and encouraged him to prosecute these innocent men when there was no evidence, when he had done his research, started an investigation, and realized that there was no crime committed by these men.
Okay, and Sam, your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, the issue here is that Goldberg is a former assistant U.S. attorney. He worked in the same office with the U.S. assistant U.S. attorney Matthew Kirsch. Now, there are laws that prohibit a private citizen from being involved in a federal investigation. Mr. Goldberg crossed that line. It doesn't matter that he was a former assistant U.S. attorney. He should have never been involved in this situation. There's a lot of activity that he was involved in with the lead investigator, the FBI agent John Smith, that he should have never been involved in. So for him to put together a package to wrap it up and take it, hand carry it to the U.S. attorney's office and says, you need to go after these guys for this, you know, just outlined it. And folks, again, you can go out to freetheirp6.org. That information is out there. There is absolutely no reason why Mr. Goldberg should have been involved in this. So that's where you talk about, Lamont, where something seriously sinister was going on, and it was an all-out campaign to convict, or to indict, convict, and prosecute, and incarcerate six innocent men.
So you have taxpayers' dollars being paid to create a Hollywood scene.
Absolutely.
You created a Hollywood. What budget, ladies and gentlemen, do you think that cost you as you sit at home tonight by the corruption of these federal officials and Greg Goldberg being not even a federal employee, Sam, is that correct?
He was no longer in federal service.
He's actually doing things that your taxpayer dollars pay the federal government to do. That's an abuse of power, ladies and gentlemen. A huge abuse of power. These are things we said the other night that raise a serious question that just doesn't make any sense. We've got down to four names, Lisa, and the conspiracy is already overwhelming.
Absolutely.
Next person on the list.
We've got the most corrupt judge I believe I've ever seen and heard of in my life, Judge Christine Arguello, who was the judge presiding over this case, who did everything she could to keep evidence from being presented, to keep witnesses from testifying that could exonerate these men. She did everything in her power to ensure that Matthew Kirsch and Sunita Hazra were successful in imprisoning these six innocent men.
Well, so this is the lady who was supposed to be the administrator of justice. She took an oath, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll tell you what, that oath means absolutely nothing when you lock six patriots that keep your children safe, that have the solution through Silk Software to keep your children safe in the United States. That is a tragedy and a dishonor to the robe she wears. Sam?
Yeah, I like to throw in there, you know, oftentimes when we talk about this, Cliff will make a comment that a judge is supposed to be a referee. It's supposed to be there to ensure that there is balance in the proceedings. Judge Arguello did anything but perform those duties as a referee. It was so slanted, and like you were saying, Lisa, when you look at all of the violations, the rights that were violated of the IRP 6, when you look at the Fifth Amendment right violation, when you look at the fact that their right to a speedy trial, and we cannot go forward without talking about when she had the sidebar and made them take the witness stand, and then made the transcript disappear.
Wow. I didn't know Judge Arguello was a magician. Perhaps she has a suite in Las Vegas to make things disappear, but I tell you, it goes against the robe that you wear, Miss Arguello. Perhaps that's the title you should have versus judge. Lisa, who's next on the list?
We've got three appellate judges. We've got Judge Jerome Holmes, Judge Bobby Baldock, and Judge Harris Hart, who were the appellate judges over the appeal filed in this case, who failed to even review the details of it, because it's obvious they failed to review it because they never even addressed the fact that transcript was missing. They skipped over everything that was legitimate, everything that was viable, everything that would show that these men were innocent. They skipped over it and decided to uphold a wrong conviction.
Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. And when you look at the retired federal judge, he was a district judge as well as an appellate judge, the Honorable H. Lee Sarakin. And Judge Sarakin has written a five-part series in the Huffington Post about the IRP 6 case. And Judge Sarakin, I mean, who can best address an issue. Now, as far as things that should be considered in the appellate process. And when Judge Sarikin said, hey, you got a situation of a transcript that's missing, the appellate court has to ensure, has to force the delivery of that. Otherwise, you cannot make a decision on a case like this. The appellate panel in the IRP 6 case did not do that. And again, I encourage our listeners to go back and listen to the archive from Tuesday evening, June 23rd, because on there we get into quite extensive conversation as to some things that happen in contacting the appellate judges, where those judges' assistants in one case said, you know, that's been gone back to the Denver office for a year. Another one said, well, we didn't see anything. I mean, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper.
Well, the plot thickens. Lisa, next on the list.
I'm going to go to Judge Schaefer, who signed off on the search warrant to raid the IRP Solutions building without any justification, without any cause. He went on and signed a search warrant to have the building searched. And when there was no evidence, generally when a search warrant is served, there is some kind of, they have to give you reasonable cause to believe that there's
probable,
a crime being
probable
committed.
Probable cause. Yes.
That there's a crime that's been committed. They had none of this.
Well, if I can, and I'm going to jump down to one of the other ones that's on the list, Lisa, and that being Agent John Smith. If I can tie John Smith to Judge Schaefer, John Smith, he presented to the judge a lie in his affidavit to get the search warrant when he said that this company is a purported, talking about IRP Solutions, is a purported software development company. Although John Smith already knew that IRP Solutions was legitimate. He had spoken to folks who worked there, retired federal agents who worked there as consultants. He already knew that IRP was legit. And to put that into a legal document, a sworn document to a judge to say, I need your signature to raid these this company, the fraud is on, the fraud is on the other end. The fraud is not with the IRP 6. The fraud is not with IRP Solutions. The fraud is on the other end of this equation.
Well, a calculated plan of doom, if you will, that they thought to bring on the IRP 6 and the Patriots of America, the IRP 6. Lisa, next on the list.
I'm going to go ahead and put together Judge Jackson and Darlene Martinez, because Darlene Martinez was the court reporter who failed to do her job and turn over the complete transcript. When a civil case was brought against Ms. Darlene Martinez, Judge Jackson went ahead and dismissed that case and did not pursue the fact that she violated the Court Reporters Act. He let all that go, stepped aside. He said he actually made a statement in open court that he realizes that the prosecutors, that Matthew Kirsch and Sunita Hodger, they would like him to use the law to dismiss this case and set it aside so that no one would ever know what happened. But he wasn't going to do that. And yet, a month or two later, he dismisses the case and decides he's not going to deal with it.
Well, I don't, folks, things are open for speculation. Ms. Darlene Martinez cast a check for $10,000 made payable to her, and perhaps there was a vacation trip planned for her and the judge. Not sure about that. That could be a Hollywood script. But why do you suddenly, in the middle of swimming upstream, turn around towards the sharks? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Lisa, next on the list.
Next on the list, we've got FBI agent Robert Moen, who was the sole agent that was called, I believe, Sam, correct me if I'm wrong, that was called to testify in the first grand jury.
The second grand jury. Yeah.
He was the only person that was called to testify, came in and told a whole slew of lies and was never questioned
Well, also, you know, Lisa,
He avoided service. That's
absolutely. Absolutely. So when you look at this FBI agent as being a key player in the situation of a second grand jury where there was only one witness that was called, and you end up getting an indictment, and then when the case is being litigated, he avoids service as far as the getting a subpoena. And another FBI agent was posted at his home and threatened the service processor and said, you will not be serving Mr. Moen. And not only that, Mr. Moen did not show up for court.
Nope.
No.
And so, you know, do you think that Judge Arguello put out a warrant for him?
He didn't do nothing.
All right, Lisa, there were some attorneys that must have been absent the day they went to law school for the entire term. Who are those attorneys?
We've got Thomas Goodread, Clifford Barnard, Thomas Richard, Robert Berger, Mitchell Baker, and Boston Stanton Jr. The court-appointed slackies that were assigned to the IRP 6 that were supposed to represent them that did not a cotton-picking thing.
Well, that gives the day, if you look in the dictionary for ineffective counsel, look for their pictures and their names. Lisa, next on the list.
We've got attorney Rick Kornfeld, who was representing LaWanna Clark, another arm to this case, who stood by, did not object, did not pull in evidence that he could have brought in, did not do any of the things he could have done to show her innocence, to prove and let it be known that she had not committed a crime while she was sent to prison for 6 months. Aside from Mr. Kornfeld, we have Mark Garagos.
Oh, Hollywood
Slick. Your best buddy.
Hello, Slick. How are you? Go ahead, Lisa. Expose him.
Mark Garagos stole $100,000 from the families of the IRP 6 under the guise of representing them, and then came back and said, no, I'm not doing anything for that, and you're not getting any money back.
All right, so he's a thief.
He's a thief, a crook, and a liar.
All right, Mr. Garagos.
He plays a good role right up front. I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm going to do this for you. We're going to get these, you know, get this, the guys home and so forth. The most disrespectful person I have ever encountered. I mean, I've seen some disrespectful people, but one of the most disrespectful person that I've ever encountered. And you know, we've talked about it before. I was on the receiving end of getting cursed out a couple of times. And, you know, it's strange that a person could, with a straight face, take money from a family or families that need it.
Wow.
And to make the comment that, well, I've come to a point in my career where I can do anything I want to, as far as, you know, I could take a case or not take a case. Well, if you come to a point in your career where you could take whatever case you want to, how about helping some folks out and not taking their money and then turning around and not doing anything for it?
Lisa, who concludes the list?
Yeah, last but not least, Miss Susan, let me take off the miss, Susan Holland, who set out to destroy the men of the IRP 6. She didn't get paid on time. She was in a part of one of the staffing companies who staffed employees to IRP Solutions. She didn't get paid on time, so she set out and sent in email in writing that she had friends in federal government, that she was going to do everything she could to destroy their names, to destroy their company, to bring them down in whatever way she could.
And Lisa, if I can jump in there real quick. On that point, you make a key point. This whole thing, the entire IRP Solutions case, was about debt. And that's one of the things that the first grand jury recognized. It is about debt. It was always about debt. It was about debt when they were indicted. It was about debt when the case went to trial. It is still about debt. If you go back, and I encourage our listeners, go and look at some of that information. Transcripts, email communication, go out to freetheirp6.org. The language that is used by Ms. Holland, the language that is used by FBI agent John Smith, the language that is used by Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch, all of them say things to the effect that if IRP had paid their debt, we wouldn't be here. So how can you prosecute someone and accuse them of fraud when you yourself continue to refer to the situation as debt?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you think that's overwhelming, if you think that is mind-boggling, you ain't heard nothing yet. Pardon the improper English, but we're talking about perpetrators of justice. Six men: Gary Walker, David Banks, Kendrick Barnes, Demetrius Harper, Clinton Stewart, Dave Zappolo. You will want to know who those men are. They are heroes of America because they developed some software to track ISIS, to cripple ISIS, and a terrorist threat on our home shores. Ladies and gentlemen, go to freetheirp6.org, freetheirp6.org. Follow us on Facebook. Is that Facebook we follow? Like us on Twitter? I think I said that backwards.
Yeah, you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter.
There we go. Whatever you want to call it, folks. Get on social media. We want to hear your comments, your thoughts. This is injustice. Six men that keep your kids safe that have the answer to keeping America safe. something to think about, something to take a look at. Sam?
If you'd like to listen to archives of the AJC Radio, go to AJCRadio.com. Also, for 24/7 programming, you can go to Live365.com. Each Sunday morning, catch us at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network. That's at PRN.FM. And then for on-demand programming, you can go to the405radio.com or iTunes. Lamont?
And ladies and gentlemen, Lisa, there's some folks you want to thank tonight.
Yes, we want to thank, first of all, Olivia, Lynette, and Miss Barbara for what they're doing behind the scenes. Also want to say thank you to our production staff. We got Captain Kyle and Dustin Jackson in the control room helping out El Skillo's girl, and a couple interns back there working with them tonight who are just learning the ropes. We appreciate what you guys are doing back there. Also to our research team, our support staff, we appreciate them giving us the correct information so that we're able to bring it to you the right way.
And we'd like to say to the RP6 families that have stood in the midst of battle in search for justice, your courage is appreciated, and we'll seek justice until we can seek no more. Shout out to Yolanda Walker, a warrior of justice and looking for a way for justice for her and her family. I can tell you right now, it's on the way. Justice is not far off. Ladies and gentlemen, this is AJC Radio. Lisa.
Can't forget about the truth. We know you're out there. We appreciate you standing with us and everything that you do. We thank you for your support.
And ladies and gentlemen, a special thanks to the service by U.S. Senator Charles Schumer. We thank you for your service to this country, to your staff who I was able to interact with today. And ladies and gentlemen, know one thing. When we highlight a senator or a congressman on this show, a press release will go out announcing that their night is going to be on Spotlight on Capitol Hill on AJC Radio. And ladies and gentlemen, Lisa and Sam, we're getting rave reviews from a lot of folks about Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And folks, join us every Thursday, 6 p.m. I believe it's 8 p.m. Eastern, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the East Coast, 6 to 8 here in Colorado, 5 to 7 in California. Tune in. You never know what you're going to get here on AJC Radio. But one thing is for certain, you're going to get justice. Well, we bring the message of justice all around the world. Thank you, folks, for your team, the AJC Radio team. Thank you for your work, your service. And, folks, when you think hope is gone, turn to AJC Radio. We're looking for solutions and ways out. Thank you for joining us tonight for AJC Radio. This is Lamont Banks, for Lisa Stewart, Sam Thurman, and our colleague Cliff as he travels on the skies, on airplanes across the United States from sunny California. We can't wait to have him back. And ladies and gentlemen, have a good night. This is AJC Radio bringing the message of justice all around the world.
Good night.
Good night.
Can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration, that's their business.